What are the similarities between the founders of Islam and Mormonism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is The American Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Founder of Mormonism. It's written by regular guest Dr. Alvin Schmidt. You can purchase The American Muhammad by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. The American Muhammad, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
Once we've abandoned God, Creator, and this is all an accidental evolutionary coincidence, and all that's left is me and the chaos inside my own mind.
Look at a stereotypical youth group meeting. You go, you play a bunch of fun and games, you hear a really brief talk that's kind of light, and you go home.
That's the whole point of the pulpit. It's not about you. It's about the preaching of Christ crucified.
How do you want to name the old Adam today? What name do we want to use? The inner brat that just basically says, no, I don't have to do it that way. Is it the inner anarchist?
In a little less than an hour, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Just a taste of the four soundbites we've got ready for you this week. All you got to do is listen, and then you vote 1-877-623-6943. You can vote early. That's fine. Go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We have left space for you to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. For the remainder of this hour, we're going to talk about Martin Luther's pastor and confessor, Johannes Bugenhagen. You might not have heard about him, or you might have assumed that a guy like Luther wouldn't even have a pastor. Well, he did. Dr. Robert Kolb is our guest. He's professor emeritus of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and author of the book Martin Luther, Confessor of the Faith. Dr. Kolb, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to be back.
Given Luther's prominence in the Reformation, some people might be surprised to find out that Luther had a pastor, since he was a pastor of such repute himself. How would you describe the relationship between the 16th century reformer Luther and his pastor, Johannes Bugenhagen?
It was a very rich relationship. They were really very good personal friends. Luther was called as a monk who had completed his doctorate. He was called to the university faculty and never actually was called to be a pastor. But he took part in the pastoral activities of the congregation in Wittenberg. As his reforming career began in the early 1520s, Johannes Bugenhagen his interest had been sparked by some of Luther's writings. And so he came to Wittenberg as a student and fairly quickly became, first of all, pastor of the town church in Wittenberg when an older man retired. And then thereafter he became a colleague on the university faculty. And Luther, when Bugenhagen left town, and he did so fairly often because he was the member of the Wittenberg team who went off to help towns and actually the whole kingdom of Denmark organize the Reformation. When Bugenhagen was gone, Luther often took his pulpit for him and a few of the other pastoral duties, though there were other assistant pastors at the town church.
What about the man himself? How would you describe Bugenhagen in terms of a brief biography?
He was born up toward the Baltic coast, and so he was called the Pomeranian. That's the area of Germany where he hailed from. He served very faithfully alongside Luther. We think of the Reformation as Luther's activity alone, but there was a very important team that formed around him at Wittenberg. Philip Melanchthon, of course, was his most important partner, but Bugenhagen, Justus Jonas, Caspar Kreutziger, and others were also part of that team, and there were just too many tasks in spreading the Reformation. Luther couldn't have done it all, and he didn't have the gifts to do it all. And so Bugenhagen was a good organizer. He also wrote some biblical commentaries, and he was also a very good preacher and pastor.
And is it safe to say that in their relationship as both pastor and parishioner, or I guess you could also say pastor and guest preacher, the role of confessor and father confessor was important between these two men?
It did, and I think we have a sign of that in the Lucas Cranach painting that's still in the town church, put in the town church altar at the end of Luther, as Luther had just died, I believe. Not sure of the exact year, but the means of grace are depicted, and confession and absolution is depicted with Bugenhagen holding a key in his hand, and so he did really serve as Luther's confessor and counselor and advisor and helper, and that of course contributed then to their warm relationship as colleagues on the university faculty.
So let's talk a bit about his scholarly contributions to the Reformation. How would you summarize those of Johannes Bugenhagen?
In the early 1520s, one of the things that the Wittenberg theologians recognized was that they had to somehow help pastors do better at preaching. There hadn't been a lot of preaching in the medieval church, and some of the pastors were still illiterate. But Luther, while he was still at the Wartburg in 1521 and 1522, wrote a sermon, a collection of sermons for the Sundays of Advent and the Christmas season, and then he expanded that over the 1520s, and it was republished, his so-called Pastel, which was, a continuing education program, a carrying of the university curriculum into the parish to aid the pastors. But at the same time, the people in Wittenberg decided we really need to get commentaries on the various biblical books out to pastors. Melanchthon wrote a commentary on Romans. They used Luther's Galatians commentary. But Bugenhagen was very important in that effort, and he wrote commentaries on the Psalms. On most of the Pauline epistles, apart from Romans, Melanchthon had sufficed, and it really was a team effort. And so he had commentaries that really aided and informed a lot of preaching in the 1520s, 30s, 40s.
Did Bugenhagen outlive Martin Luther?
He did. And, of course, soon after Luther's death, the emperor declared war on the evangelical princes, the so-called Small-Called League, which was a defensive league of evangelical princes and towns. And in the aftermath of that, Bugenhagen stood alongside Melanchthon in an effort to save Lutheran pulpits for Lutheran preachers. And the way they did that was to propose some compromises in ceremonies and the like. And many of their own students and Luther students, too, thought that these compromises were a denial of the gospel, and so Bugenhagen's last years were probably kind of sad years. But interestingly enough, one of his sons, Johannes Bugenhagen Jr., did become a theology professor in Wittenberg and served into the 1580s.
Do we have any extant written remains of Bugenhagen's preaching?
I don't think so. So we may have some manuscripts, but he did not, if I recall correctly, publish the texts of sermons. He published some notes on the gospel lessons for the Sundays. Again, one of these postals. So we don't, and they are they're sort of study notes. So it doesn't give you a real feel for the way he would have preached. So far as I know, no one has at least dug up and even edited manuscripts of his sermons. Of course, not everybody wrote a manuscript. Luther himself generally just went with a kind of outline into the pulpit, and sometimes you have the impression he floated pretty free from the outline.
Did Luther regard Bugenhagen as something of a fellow worker, perhaps even an equal in terms of the ongoing enterprise of the Reformation, do you think?
I think so. I think when you read some of the comments that come in the table talks or in letters that he wrote, there's that famous quote early on where he said, I wasn't responsible for the Reformation, the Holy Spirit did it, while Nicholas von Amsdorf, Philip Melanchthon, and I were drinking beer. Amsdorf left the university and went to reform the city of Magdeburg. About the time that Bugenhagen was taking over the town church's pastorate. And so, we have indication that Bugenhagen and Justus Jonas, Melanchthon, and Luther, and then later their student, former student, and then colleague Caspar Kreuziger, they really regarded themselves as a team, and they split up the work. Interestingly enough, they sometimes disagreed on things. We have a letter from Melanchthon saying, well, Martin and I just don't agree with Bugenhagen on the descent into hell. So they were colleagues who could discuss, who could experiment with the way they expressed the gospel, who could argue with each other, and all in the spirit of promoting the Reformation and the gospel of Christ.
With only about 30 seconds here, because the pastoral office was such a problem in the early times of the Reformation, that is pretty widespread ignorance among those who served that way, can we view today Johannes Bugenhagen as kind of a bright light in a rather dark era of pastoral education and care?
Well, I think he's a good example of how quickly some of the students did catch on when they came to Wittenberg or other universities for training. And we have evidence, too, that as the publications spread, even those who didn't get to the university, many of them caught very nicely what Luther was aiming at, and Melanchthon and Bugenhagen were aiming at, and it really made a big difference in the way the gospel was proclaimed. And if we can believe at least some of the reports on visitations of congregations, it made an impact on the way people certainly believed but also lived within a few decades.
Dr. Robert Kolb is Professor Emeritus of Systematic Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and he's author of the book Martin Luther, Confessor of the Faith. Dr. Kolb, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me again, Todd.
By the way, you can find out more about the book Martin Luther, Confessor of the Faith at our website, issuesetc.org. One of the things that I always find fascinating is the story that we talk so much about the Reformation here on Issues, Etc. The story about the Reformation that continues. And it continues person by person in some cases. That's why we have the Wittenberg Trail feature of the Issues, Etc. journal. And in the latest Issues, Etc. journal, that Wittenberg Trail feature is written by Mark Hemingway, who's senior writer for the Weekly Standard. He grew up as a Mormon in Mormon country and then came to the theology of the Reformation. You can subscribe to the Issues Etc. journal at our website, issuesetc.org. See the big red button, click on that, and enter your email address. It's absolutely free, the Issues Etc. journal. When we come back, we're going to talk about late century, early 12th century Archbishop of Canterbury, Anselm. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Ascension and Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 19th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Ascension and Pentecost sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.